Are you ready for God's word today? Come on, are you really ready? Father, we bless you. Thank you so much again for your continued presence. We trust you now for clarity so that you can make it clear unto us, Father, how to start off this year with you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, praise God. As you heard, you know, announced, beginning a series today, just simply called Why. Everyone say why. It's an extremely important question to answer for your life and mine. As a matter of fact, I will say this. It is the most important question that you can answer. And until you answer it, there will always be this fog to your life. There will always be this uncertainty, not clear, because why is not clear. Let's begin by looking at a little history. How many individuals are familiar with the gentleman Samuel Pierpoint Langley? Most people are not. Samuel Pierpoint Langley was a very well-to-do businessman, academic, professor and the like, in the early 1900s and late, 1800s for that matter. He set off on the mission that he was going to be the first to actually achieve flight for human beings. He was working on a craft that would be able to fly. And this individual, he was a, part of the Smithsonian, Institute. Again, he's a mathematics professor. He runs in the circles of all the popular and wealthy people during that time, like Andrew Carnegie and various others. I mean, just everybody knew him. He was, that guy. And when he set off on this mission, everyone was excited and wanted to support him, everyone part of the government and the like. And so the government even gave him $50,000 to work on this. Now, that's really interesting because $50,000 at that time is a significant amount of money. And so different individuals, kind of a who's whom, a dream team assembled to be able to work on this project to begin to see if man could fly. Well, about a couple of hundred miles away were a couple of individuals named Wilbur and Orville Wright. Anybody know them? Yeah, we know them. They lived in a town, Dayton, Ohio, and they just simply were inspired to want to see to it that, mankind could fly. They wanted to take this leap. Nobody knew about them. Nobody knew about them at the time. Only those locally. And the people locally, were so inspired by their passion that many of them joined, with their team to help them, to accomplish this. They didn't have the money like Mr. Langley. They didn't have, the individuals with all the high degrees and the like. As a matter of fact, none of them had a college degree, not Orville, Wilbur, or anyone that was working on their team. Every one of them, though, was simply functioning with this great sense of passion. So then we have a situation that on December 17th, 1903, they achieve flight. Mr. Langley and his team don't. As a matter of fact, you don't even know Mr. Langley. But in December 17th, 1903, Wilbert and Orville Wright, they achieved something that others who watched this, who were better funded, better educated, better supplied, could not do. So now the question we have to ask ourselves is, well, why is that? How did that happen? In short, the Wright brothers were able to inspire those around them and truly lead their team into developing a technology that would change the world because they started with why. There's a lot of key questions. A lot of times we can get focused in on what. What am I here to do? What am I here to do? And then watch this. If you have that, engineering type, kind of mindset, is, well, how do you do it? How do you do this? And if you're kind of, that type of uh, uh, people type person. It's, well, who do we do it with? Who? But the real question that you and I have to make sure we stress over is always why. Take another young man. We'll fast forward a little bit in history. Another young man who is the son of a Baptist, you know, pastor. He himself, you know, begins to take that same, you know, track and, you know, answers the call of God upon his life and goes off to seminary and schooling and like and receives his doctorate degree, begins to pastor himself, is a great, you know, orator. But let's be clear, you know, he's not perfect, you know, just like none of us are. There were probably some individuals that were better orators than him. But this individual named the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. somehow inspired a world to a social change. How does that happen? How does that happen that, you know, in 1963, we have now on a modest estimate, 250,000 people show up on a Wednesday morning to hear a sermon at the Capitol. I have a dream. How does that happen? I submit unto you that he, like Orville and Wilbur, understood how to stress over the why. It wasn't the what. It wasn't the how. It wasn't so much, you know, the nonviolent, you know, protest. I mean, those things were good, but all those things were birthed out of the why. Why? You and I have to constantly answer the question, why am I here? Why are you here right now? Listen, wherever you may be at home and you're watching, you know, online. Why are you born in this particular time? Why are you present, you know, wherever you may be in South Florida or Michigan or Georgia, wherever you could be? Why? It's the question you want to stress over and over. And until you really know your why, you'll never know your way. Have to. Now, no one embodied this and perfected this like Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth understood this to the absolute core. And listen, this is how he functioned in his earthly ministry, and I believe this is how he still functions today in his heavenly ministry to us. It was always about why. Notice what you see here. In John chapter 4, Jesus was dealing with a particular woman, a Samaritan woman, by a well. He ministers to her. Watch this. He ministers to her to help her to get to know God. After he ministers to her to help her to get to know God, then he gives her some keys, watch this, to find freedom from the destructive pattern that she had, you know, in relationships with men. Then once he helps her to find this freedom, then he sets her, you know, to this place and challenges her to discover her purpose now. And then releases her to go out and make a difference. And all of a sudden, his disciples who had left him alone, makes no sense that they left Jesus alone. Listen, never leave Jesus alone. Amen. Says in verse 27, just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? Because the traditional mindset was if you were talking to a strange woman in the marketplace, it's because you was trying to hook up. Y'all know what I mean by hook up, don't you? So none of them dared to ask, Jesus, you're trying to, wait a minute, we thought you was a holy man. You're trying to hook up? They didn't do that. Why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Come on now. Could he possibly be the Messiah? She's making a difference right away. So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, and here's where I want you to make sure you lock in on. He says, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Man, I love this right here. They're trying to encourage him, like, look, we know we've been with you, you know, all night, all day, and we know you haven't eaten anything. Come on, Jesus, why don't you get something to eat? And Jesus says, I got something that feeds me that you all are not acquainted with yet. And then he keeps going on, you know, to make this statement. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples said, asked each other. Then Jesus explained, watch this. My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Jesus says, watch this. My nourishment comes, let me put it in these terms, from fulfilling my why. My nourishment comes, how I get satisfied, how I get fulfilled, how I'm energized in life comes from me just simply doing the will of my Father and finishing the work that he started. He says, this is why I am here. And see, watch this. When you get over into your why, your what and when and how and who may look strange to some other people. That's why the disciples are kind of like, whoa, Jesus, why are you talking to her? They couldn't understand, what he was doing and who he was trying to do it with. But Jesus understood my why trumps everything. And my why is that I'm here now to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. So that means the social issues and protocols of the day do not trump my why with God. I'm here to make sure this woman gets what God paid for her to have. Why? Why are you here? Jesus, you know, expresses this heart and this sentiment in several places throughout Scripture where he really begins to just express, this is my why. This is why I am here. And again, once you get a hold of your why, you will never, ever lose your way. So keep this in mind. We are most energized, satisfied, and fulfilled when we are functioning in our why. If you don't feel fulfilled, I got news for you. You're very likely just not functioning in your why. Your world is consumed by what? And maybe how. But if you want to be fully energized, come on, like what Jesus said, nourished, then you have to get over into your why. But let me say this, and this is even more important. Our Heavenly Father is most satisfied and fulfilled when we are functioning in our why. Yeah, praise God for our fulfillment. But really, this is about us fulfilling, you know, our Father's love. And he is most fulfilled when we are functioning in the why of why he has us here right now in this season, this time, this purpose. Somebody say, my why is what drives me. Absolutely. So what's your why? That's the question you have to ask. Now listen, this is not mystical. Neither is it even complex. As a matter of fact, your why, my why, and the why of humanity is all common. Now I know we like to really fight for a sense of individuality and all of that. And that will work itself out in the what and the how and maybe even with the who and the when. But the why is universal for all humanity. But before we get into the strength of that, let's review something here in Genesis chapter 39. I said it earlier, so let's focus on this point. When you know your why, you'll never lose your way. Listen, if you've ever felt like you've lost your way, back up and review your why. Get acquainted again with your why. And then your way will become crystal clear. In Genesis, we see the story and history of a young man named Joseph who has these dreams of greatness. Come on, anyone else ever had dreams of greatness? That's everybody in here. Come on, that's everybody out there online. Come on, all of us. Dreams of greatness, praise God. You got them from Almighty God. God didn't call you for anything small. Always great, praise God. Joseph has these dreams of greatness, and he shares it with his brothers, he shares it with his father and his mother, you know, family. And his brothers in particular did not like it. They were quite jealous of him. And as a matter of fact, Joseph's father, Jacob, actually kind of favored him above all the other kids anyway. So, I mean, you know, the other kids did not like him. You know, daddy seemed like he loves you more than the rest of us. And then here it is, you trying to tell us about how great you're going to be. Interesting. So they plotted to kill him, which is very sad. Fortunately, one of the brothers says, look, let's not do that. Why don't we just kind of throw him into this pit? You know, we can do something. We can sell him into, you know, slavery or whatever the case may be. And one brother was actually even trying to find a way to rescue him. But that attempt failed. So they throw him into a pit. This caravan comes by. They sell him to the individuals, you know, in the caravan. Anyone ever seen the movie Gladiator? You remember now Russell Crowe's character, you know, he's been injured. You know, when he's trying to get back to his family, he gets to his family and his wife and his son, you know, have been murdered. And his injury just causes him to collapse. And a caravan comes by and they just scooped him up and took him. And what did they do? They took him into slavery. He became a gladiator. Very typical practice during this particular time where people are being sold. Unfortunately, that hasn't changed much. Human trafficking is still a very real issue today. So Joseph gets sold now to this caravan. This caravan then goes into Egypt and says, look at the product I got here. Look at the individuals I got here. And so now there's an individual there named Potiphar who looks at Joseph and says, yeah, I like him. I'm going to buy him. You can come work in my house. I mean, here it is. This dream of greatness is like, what is going on, God? He gets sold into slavery. But when he's sold into slavery, we see something about him. We see that there's this continued favor from God upon him, regardless of where he goes and what he's going through. And I submit unto you, one of the reasons why that favor continues to abide there is because even in the midst of some horrendous circumstances and challenges, Joseph never lost sight of his why. See, listen. What really drove Joseph, if I can get ahead of myself a little bit, what wasn't the dream, it was the relationship with the dream giver. That's what drove Joseph. That was Joseph's why. So even now when he's sold into slavery, he's still holding passionate about his why, my relationship with my dream giver. And then we look up, you know, while he's there, you know, in slavery. In verse 6, the latter part of the verse says, Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, just kind of like your pastor. And Potiphar's wife soon began to say, that wasn't a place to laugh. What the? Amen. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you because you are his wife. And then I love this last statement here. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. Whew. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no Ten Commandments. There's no law. There's none of that. Joseph is being directed in his life by this why, this relationship with the dream giver. Right now, I can't quite figure everything out. I don't even know why this is happening to me. I can't believe that my brothers did this to me. But one thing I do know is that you are a good, good father, like what we were singing about earlier. So in the face of that, and this woman, you know, coming on to him, in the face of this temptation, he remembers his why and doesn't take, you know, the steps to enter over into adultery and fornication with her. When you know your why, you won't lose your way. Even when challenges are there, even when it's not going the way you thought it was going to go, even when there is some attractive temptation coming on to you, you will keep your way. So let's understand this from impact's perspective here. Okay, that's where we are. This is who we are. Impact Church, our what is to teach people the word of God. in a way that's clear and concise, that's easily understood and applied. That's the first part and heart, you know, of our vision. And kind of in short terms, we say it this way, helping people to know God, find freedom, discover the purpose, make a difference. That's what? That's what? How we do that is by our worship experiences, by our small groups, by our growth track, by our dream team. This is how we begin to do the what? Who does this? Who does this? Prayerfully, it's those who all share the same why. When do we do it? When do we do it? We do this every opportunity that we can. Yeah, absolutely. But the most important matter is why. Why does Impact Church do these things? Why are we here? Here's what I want you to think on and meditate on and carry around with you, you know, for the rest of this week, the rest of this month, the rest of this year. Our why is to equip people to grow fully in Christ. Come on, we can put it just in a little short term. We can say it a whole lot of ways, but I want you to catch it this way. Our why is to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. The reason why you're here, the reason why I'm here, is to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. And when I say you're here, I'm here, I'm not just simply talking about people who are members of Impact Church. I'm talking about those who are breathing. This is more than just simply some kind of church institution, you know why. This is the why of life. We are here to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. Listen, you and I, we're here to give people the opportunity to see and experience Jesus. Come on now, not to see and experience you, but see and experience Jesus. That's why we are here. That's why I said it's not complex. This is not a case for, you know, uniqueness where your why is different from my why. We all share this same thing. Come on now. Equip all people to grow fully in Christ. Obviously, that includes us. Come on, helping people have the opportunity to see and experience Jesus. Come on, what more could we want? Let people see and experience Jesus. That's our why. That's our why. And therefore, the what comes into play, and the how comes into play, and the who comes into place, and the when comes into play. But the most important thing is why. And listen, when you understand now your why, you don't lose your way. When you understand your why in this, then you recognize that the what is the same for all of us. Now, we may be doing some different activities, but really what we're doing is all focused towards the same thing. Why? Why? See, the reason why I'm preaching unto you or teaching you today, it's not, you know, just simply because, well, you know, you're the pastor. No. The why behind why I'm doing this is to equip you and everyone I can come in contact with to be able to grow fully in Christ. The why behind why individuals are behind cameras right now, projecting, you know, this message, it is not just simply so they have something to do in church and fulfill some kind of responsibility. No. They are helping to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. They're creating an opportunity for people to see and experience Jesus. Come on, there's individuals over there ministering to our children in a separate auditorium right now. And what they're doing is really not ministering just to our children, but they are creating an opportunity for people to see and experience Jesus. They are equipping all people to grow fully in Christ. That's the why. That's why we do it. That's why we do it. And see, when you lose sight of that why, your way then can become contentious. You can get frustrated with the way. You can get frustrated with the what. See, people get frustrated with the what and the how and the who and even the when they have lost sight of their why. Don't lose sight of your why. We all share the same thing. We're here to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. Come on, we want to give people the opportunity to see and experience Jesus. That's my heart's desire. That's my heart's desire. Come on, wherever you are right there, just lift up two hands unto heaven with me. Lord God, yeah, use our faith this day. We want to see people see and experience you. Help them, Father, not to see us, not to be impressed with us, but to be impressed with you and your love, your grace, your power, your wisdom, your favor. Oh, Father, let us never lose sight of our why. Why you have called us for such a time as this. Why we live. Thank you, Lord God. We bless you for that now in Jesus' name. Yeah. So listen, there's a bigger picture than just our immediate personal needs, comforts, and preferences. But let me jump right in there because, you know, my sound guy thinks we're going someplace else. Not yet with that music. Everyone kind of just come on back with me on it. Yeah, amen. There's a bigger picture than just our immediate personal needs, our immediate personal comforts and preferences. It is the why. That's the big picture. That's the big picture. Why? I'm going to say it again, to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. That's the big picture. It's bigger than your personal needs, my personal needs, bigger than your comforts, my comforts, bigger than your preferences and my preferences. Listen, I remember this, I've shared this, you know, probably a couple of years ago now. Learn how to serve beyond your preferences. There's certain things that you may prefer, maybe you prefer, but you learn how to serve people in their preferences, which quite frankly, a lot of times are different than yours. So you don't get kind of indifferent, like, well, that's I don't do that. I don't do that. So I'm not going to serve. No. Serve them where they are. Serve them where they prefer. Because watch this. That's exactly what Jesus did for you and me. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. You think it was his preference to be scourged and crucified? No. Matter of fact, we see him. He said, look here, Father, if there's a plan B in this, I'm open to consideration. It wasn't his preference to be crucified, scourged, murdered, put to death. But he serves us beyond his preference. Thank you, Lord. When you don't know why, you'll end up out of the way. Acts chapter 20, verse 21 is where we begin. The Apostle Paul, he's a phenomenal figure in church history. We have more written by the Apostle Paul about the church, the dynamics of the church, the working of the church, the flow of the church, the expectations of the church, than we do anyone else in Scripture, including Jesus. Doesn't mean that what he's saying, you know, overrides, you know, Jesus. That's not the point I'm trying to make, because it's all the same spirit. But God uses this individual to pen literally 2/3 of what we have as our New Testament. And Paul is someone who knew how to resist the temptations to compromise, to get away from his why. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, it says this. I have had one message for Jews and Greeks alike. I like that. Come on now. The people may change, the message is the same. The necessity, here's the message, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning from God and having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good message. Repenting from sin, turning to God and having faith in the Lord Jesus. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe we can talk a little bit. You know, if I know jail and suffering and persecution and the like is what lies ahead in my next endeavor, how many of you know you might think twice about taking that endeavor? But Paul has this mindset and attitude that regardless of the temptations that and pressure that I know is in my future, I'm not going to get off of my why. Because once you get off of your why, you lose your way. Once you get off your why, watch this, you start to do whatever. You do whatever, you do however, and you'll do it with whoever. Oh, I did go there, didn't I? Know your why. Watch this. When you understand your why, let me talk to my young single women that are here. When you understand your why, then it will have great impact on the who's that you select in your life. But that goes for young men too, single men as well. When you understand your why, it impacts the who. The who. Listen, your why, my why, is to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. Then how then do I get connected intimately with this man or this woman who doesn't know Christ? Maybe first I should spend time to make sure I help them to grow fully in Christ before I endeavor to unite myself with them in any kind of way. Oh, glory. Happy New Year! Amen. We keep reading here. It says, but my life, I love this, what Paul, you know, comes with. He says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. Did you hear that? Paul says, my life, I mean, it's nothing to me. Let me put it in these terms. Unless I use it to live out my why. So if I'm not using this to live out my why, my life is nothing. And then he explains a little bit, you know, further about, again, what that why is. That's the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Oh, yeah. His message was the same. People may have changed. Locations may have changed. But his message was the same. And despite the challenges and temptations and threats of hardship, he did not allow those things to move him off his why. And as a result, we look further in his writings, and then he writes this: I have finished my course. Come on, he says, I have kept the faith. He said, what God entrusted to me, I fulfilled it. I fulfilled it. How did he do that? Because he stressed over the why. See, religiosity makes you stress over the what, the when, the who, that kind of stuff. That's not what why does. See, watch this. Many of you remember Jesus was being persecuted at one point because God used him to heal someone on the Sabbath. This, matter of fact, this man's arm is lame. And this is amazing to me. The man's arm is lame. They're all gathered together there in the synagogue, and the Pharisees and scribes, the religious leaders, they're watching to see if Jesus does something on the Sabbath, so they got something to hold against him. And Jesus knew it. He knew it. He knew what they're doing. So he calls the man up front. He says, hey, come here, come here. You know. And he asks everybody, he says, you know, is it okay to do good on the Sabbath, or is the Sabbath a day of evil? He says, well, either way. He didn't say that part. I'm just saying. He then turns to the man and says, look, stretch out your arm. Take up your bed. Walk and be healed. The man does so. And they're mad at Jesus. Now, think about this. Think about this. Now, even from the definition of work, Jesus didn't do anything. All he did was speak. He didn't pick the man up and start doing all kinds of stuff. All he did was speak to the situation. And the man walks healed, and religion says, you can't do that on the Sabbath day. See, it's stressing over the when in this case. Stresses over the when, the what, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Jesus says, no, see, y'all don't understand. I operate by something greater than that. I operate by a why. This is why I'm here. So therefore, because this is why I'm here, the win is every opportunity I get. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is. Watch out for that spirit of religion. Knowing your why is the foundation to determining what, how, who, and when. When you know your why, it helps you to determine now your what, your how, your who, your when. And your what may be different than my what. My what is this calling, you know, as a pastor. But your calling may be in the education field. But your why is the same as mine. Your calling may be, you know, in the medical field, but your why is the same as mine. How you do it, probably, you know, completely different than me, but your why is the same as mine. Help all people to grow fully in Christ. That's God's heart desire. God's heart desire. Yeah. So as you are thinking about your future and what things that I should do and what steps I should take, you know, praise God, you know, go into the legal field. But understand this, why you are trying those cases and you're representing those clients, your why is to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. Oh, that's why you're doing it. That's the why behind it. Say, yeah, no, I'm doing this because this is my career, you know, so forth. And this is, you know, I need the money. Well, praise God. I mean, for jobs, you know, and the responsibilities and tasks that we have to perform and the remuneration that we receive from it. But all of that is just to simply make us better for our why. Come on, we want to make sure people have the opportunity to see and experience Jesus every single day. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 19. And we're going to kind of wrap up here in just a second. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says. For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Boy, I love that. See, when you understand your why, then the what starts to become clear. Jesus said, yeah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me now. I'm here to proclaim. See, now I know what to do. I'm here to proclaim, you know, now freedom, liberty to captives, praise God. Recovering of sight to blind. Healing the broken heart. He said, I see my what becomes clear because I know my why. And then Jesus makes it real simple in John chapter 10, verse 10, the latter part of the verse. He says this, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Oh yeah. Jesus says, see, because I understand my why, my what, my how, my who, all of that stuff comes into clarity. My when, it all comes into clarity. He says, I'm here that, watch this, you can have life and have it more abundantly, in abundance to the full until it overflows. Come on, life is what obliterates death, praise God. And Jesus said, this is why I'm here. I want you to have life. I want you to have it, watch this, not in a small portion, but in abundance. To the full. Come on now, until it overflows. Overflows, praise God. Overflows. You know, I like wild cherry ices. Anybody else like them? Come on now. I know I wasn't by myself. I knew it. Not in Jesus' name. And I'll go and get one. You know, there's a Wawa not too far from my house. And I would go and get one, yeah, pretty regular. And one of the things I have the habit of doing a lot of times is I get that thing in abundance, so I get the big cup. Come on now. Come on, I'm getting the 32-ounce, the 44-ounce one. Come on now. And I'm working that thing. I'm filling it with abundance. Watch this. To the full. And then I put the cap on it, and I do it till it overflows. I want you to catch that picture because that's God's heart for your life and mine. He wants it abundant with life. Come on now. He wants it overflowing with life. We've come off a most interesting year in 2020, and there's been a lot of death. God says, I want to replace that with great life. Great life, praise God. But the key and the pathway to it is knowing how to recognize and embrace your why. Come on now. Equip all people to grow fully in Christ. Give people the opportunity to see and experience Jesus. When you're functioning from this why, you'll be more energized. You'll wake up with more energy. Come on, you'll have more of a passion. You'll have more of a bounce to your step, praise God. It'll be more fulfilling to you. Father, help us in this moment to embrace the why that you have created us all for. that we recognize that there is a gravitational pull to kind of move us away from why and get fixated on what and how and who and when. But let us remember to always stress over the why of why you have birthed and created all of humanity, not just simply the church, but everyone that is on this planet, and that shall come. So help us, Father, to be great representatives of this today. Let us do what you've called for us to do. Let us be, you know, the floodlights that shine greatly upon your character, your goodness, your love, your favor, and your power. Father, our prayer is not for people that will see us and be impressed with us, but may they be greatly impressed with you. Thank you for this now. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Do this with me, please. Just bow your heads with me right there where you are, wherever you may be, here in the auditorium, at home, wherever you could be. Just bow your heads with me. Listen, listen. Your why starts off in this place, like with Joseph, where you're stressing over the relationship with the dream giver. God has a dream for your life. And you know that dream. You've seen that dream. But don't stress over the dream. Stress over the one who's given it to you. When you keep that core, oh yeah, you are well on your way now to living out your why. So you've never come to that particular place. This is a place of relationship now with a good, good Father. I want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you wherever you could be today. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you, because God wants you to have the most phenomenal year of your life. And he knows it starts with him. So if that's you, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Or secondly, maybe you're here and you say, well, I've made a decision like this before, but I've kind of drifted. I lost my way. I get it. Listen, I've been there before as well. When you lose your why, you'll lose your way. But when you hold on to your why, you'll never lose your way. So if that's you, you want to make a fresh commitment right here this very first Sunday of a brand new year to say, you know what? I surrender all unto my good, good Father. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. It's just a matter of rededicating and recommitting your life. God's not mad at you about anything that you've done. Not one thing, not in the least bit. But he is saying, come on back home to me. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed in prayer. Even right there at home, don't peek. Keep your head bowed, keep your eyes closed. If either one of those two invitations speaks to your heart, you desire my prayers this morning, today, would you let me know by just lifting up one hand under heaven, right there where you are, here in the auditorium or wherever you may be? Thank you, God bless you. See your hands right there. Come on, at home, come on, in your car, wherever, come on, lift them up. You're right, I can't see you, but your Heavenly Father can. This is just an act of faith to say, yeah, I surrender all to you, Daddy. Thank you, Lord. Hey, man, you can put your hands down. You can put your hands down, see the hands. Let me just look one more time, because I don't want to rush through this right here at the beginning of the year. Come on, at home, here in the auditorium. If you didn't raise your hand, but you know you should have, go ahead, shoot your hand up too, so I know just to include you in on this prayer. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not going to do anything of that nature. I just want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Right there at home. Yeah. Amen. This is what I want to do. I want to pray for you, just as I said. So I'm going to ask everyone, wherever you may be, lift up two hands under heaven. That's where our help comes from. Come on, lift it up high. Say this out loud with me, strong and passionate. Say, dear Father God, thank you so much for your amazing love for me and given to me your absolute best. Your son Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I embrace you as my master, as my savior, as my Lord, as my king, as my everything. I turn my back on sin and I embrace your plan and purpose for my life. Thank you for making me your own. Amen. Come on, somebody just rejoice with me right there for a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Come on, rejoice. Hallelujah. New life, fresh starts in Jesus' name. And furthermore, Daddy, I just want to pray for those who are just making a fresh commitment towards you today. They're your son. They're your daughters. You love them. Nothing has changed with that. Father, fill them with fresh vision today. Help them to see with greater clarity the why behind their life and why you have them here at such a time as this. Father, I call them strong in you and in the power of your might. Every demonic force and attack that would come against their life or their family, we curse that at the root and we say it shall not prosper. But the very life, Father, that Jesus came to provide them in abundance to the full until it overflows is what they shall experience this year like never before. A year, Father, where they win and walk in victory constantly every single day. We give you praise for this now. In Jesus' wonderful name, if you agree with that, would you shout glory? Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now listen, this is what I want to ask of you. If you raise your hand, you're here present or online, I want to ask that, number one, when you exit, be sure to get a hold of one of our booklets. It's called Fresh Start. We want to put one of these into your hands. It will help you in the decision that you've made here today, a permanent one in your life. If you are online, you can go to our website and be able to access an electronic version of that book. It's called Fresh Start, praise God. Be sure to get a hold of that. And then also, if you're online and you responded to one of those two invitations, would you just let us know? You can just type in the chat, you know, decided, or you could also see a poll that comes up, says, I committed my life to Christ. Go ahead and click that so we can just rejoice with you. We can pray for you. This is not a way for us to capture your information. We just want to be able to rejoice and continue to pray for you because we want to see God's best coming to pass in your life. Praise God. God has an amazing future for you, and it starts now. So get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready to get in on it big. Praise God. Amen.